in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:29. You're listening to The People Speak. I'm Jeff, and today we're going to be talking with Regional School Superintendent Kelton Davis joining us this morning. How are you?
Boy, I'm wonderful. How about you, Jeff?
We'll say that. That's good.
I bet the listeners are just life just gets stranger and stranger. I'm glad we're such good people to be able to roll with it. But
yeah, especially wow. This year, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for 21.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully.
Or 22.
21 would be nice. We, you know, but we'll just have to wait and see. But obviously, talking today probably a little bit about. School system as far as how things are going with that. I mean, obviously things are a lot different this year and that.
Yeah, we can certainly get into where we sit right now. And also I know we've had, obviously since our last People Speak Together, we've had an election. And for Illinois in particular, wanted to talk about the impact or where things may be going in the future. It was very resounding. We did not want a tax increase. So there will be an impact from that, and we'll talk about where that may lay.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break, and we will come back and get into our conversation today. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Talking today with Regional School Superintendent Kelton Davis, and we're talking a little bit about some of the things going on. Obviously, the COVID-19 still wreaking havoc, I guess we could say, with the school year. Where do we stand now as far as things?
Right now, we're seeing most of our schools are all in remote learning at this phase. There's a tremendous concern about what's going to happen over Thanksgiving. And we're seeing a lot of schools that are saying, hey, week after Thanksgiving, potentially 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, we're going to stay remote and then bring folks back in so that the community spread can resolve itself should there be a peak over Thanksgiving. You know, I got to tell you, though, our schools have done what I believe a tremendous job. The kids, tremendous credit to them. They've rolled with these masks like I never even could have imagined. Staff are taking all the protections they need. For the most part, we're not seeing the spread in the schools, which is what's bringing up a huge debate or discussion, I would say, because it's really what we're seeing is the community spread, family members, friends, and it's not being passed around as much in the schools. Where we do see it is when kids get out of school, let's say a group of them are walking home, they pull off their masks, they go and play, and they do whatever. So it's ancillary or secondary to the schools. When, you know, it's because there was school, those kids got together after school.
Mm-hmm.
or maybe even before school. And that's where we're most likely seeing the spread. We've got reduced numbers. There are parents that have chosen to do remote learning while there's in-person learning, which is not a requirement by executive order for the schools to do that. I compliment them on an unflexible system being a little more flexible and permitting remote learning. So the conundrum there is, if the schools are not passing it, why do we go full remote? Why are we doing extra cautions? And the reality that we're seeing is, even though it's a community spread, we're losing staff. We have no, we don't have nearly enough subs. So if anyone out there has a bachelor's degree and an interest, we can get you a sub license. And in some cases, if you have an associate's degree or associate's level credit, we can do the same as well. We're in desperate need of subs. So when we have teachers out, we're trying to cover them, and it's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, frankly, the schools we're seeing are responding to what the community is responding to with the virus, and we are definitely on an uptick. So need to strongly encourage people to wear those masks when they're around other people.
Right.
I really, you know, there's enough anecdotes out there. Everybody always has them. But I know specifically of a case where an individual who was positive didn't have a mask on, and people with masks on caught it, got COVID from them. So, you know, it makes a big, big difference having those masks on, whether you're positive or not. And so just a mask is not going to protect you if somebody, you're near someone positive in close contact, breathing the same air.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I have a meeting this afternoon with our superintendents. We're covering a lot of topics, but we are starting with the health department and where everyone sits and what they're seeing and the like. I will tell you the one thing that will get a physical tick on the facial features of a superintendent is mentioning basketball season.
Mm.
And, I mean, reality is you cannot have, it's just not possible to have these sports. You know, unless somebody is going to have an N95, and I can barely make it up and down a court. Well, I'm an old guy, but, you know, right. Put a mask on and it's impossible. It is just, I don't know. I don't know why we're clinging on to hopes that we can have that. And I know the importance of activity and the mental health that we have to have. But if we can eliminate those activities that are spreaders, and again, going back, our schools are in general are not the major spreaders. The biggest reason, we're not doing lunches at school. And I know that is an absolute challenge for families that, oh my gosh, my kid comes home at 12:30, what am I supposed to do with them then? So now, even when they're at school, they're getting off early, and I know it's so darn difficult, but not having lunch at school has made a significant impact on the safety in our schools.
Right.
I'm just stating it as fact. I can't tell you where I sit. I wish I had a grand answer for all of this. We're working on getting a pilot group of teachers together for math teachers to enhance remote learning and how we can actually do a better job of that cooperatively by using multiple teachers during live Zoom events. But That being said, we have got to get through this. We've got to get back to normal school and normal life. And that's where this vaccine is going to become very important.
Exactly. All right. Some other things to talk about, too, as well. I'll tell you what, let's take a break and get it out of the way, and we'll come back and talk about that. We'll be back here on The People Speak in just a moment. And welcome back. Got about 7.5 minutes left in the program today, talking with Regional School Superintendent Kelton Davis. You were talking about, you know, you got your meeting today, this afternoon with the superintendents. What kind of other things are going on?
Well, we definitely have a very full agenda, and we'll be talking about COVID, but we're also talking about our annual compliance that we go through. The compliance process, though, is very difficult in this time because there are things that just can't be done that our schools are required to do. And we've asked for relief from the state board via executive order on some of those things. For example, bus evacuation requires training, and then every child, whether they ride a bus or not, to physically go through the back door, as you know, as a driver, to practice that drill. And I think that's very important. But because of COVID, the state board has at least told us, hey, we can do this, just show them a video about it, and then don't do the actual drill, which to me is a concern that I have when government agencies, and forgive me, I'm going to get a little political on this next piece, small p, not Republican, Democrat kind of thing, but you know, the issue and concern I have with the state agencies unilaterally making decisions as to what laws we can follow and not is a bad precedence because it needs to come through rules, law, or executive order from the governor. Otherwise, you know, do we want to allow our agencies to break the law or tell our schools, yeah, go ahead and break the law? Well, if it wasn't so important that we didn't have to follow it, then why do we have the law in the first place? I mean, so it kind of tells you where Illinois is wrapped up into just a political appeasement. And forgive me, I don't want to sound like a rant here, but, you know, also on our agenda is dealing with and planning for the financial situations for next year. I will tell you personally, I was not in favor of an income tax increase, not because of the tax increase, but because it simply opened up the door to be able to tax different groups in the future without having to go to the voters. And yes, the voters vote for our legislators, but we see how well we've done with that for Illinois. You know, our state made a decision to be based on property taxes. That's the major income of the state. Now, our property taxes are high because that's where we generate our revenue. Other states can choose other mechanisms. But now Illinois is trying to get into both property tax as a major source of income and income tax as a major source of revenue for the state. So now we're going to be high property and the potential of high income tax. Now, do we have a revenue problem? Absolutely we do in the state. Do we have bloated programs? Are there cuts that can be made? Absolutely. We have not tightened that belt even close to the notches. But the problems that we have are the major social service organizations are struggling. Mental health, medical, social, which is our social services, law enforcement, EMS, all of the fire, those are critical. Education is a critical area. We need to cut two of those three systems in totality to stop bleeding the debt we have. And that's not viable. We can't just say we're not going to pay for police anymore or fire, or we're not going to have any social services. A lot of the blame for this is the teacher pension systems, where we have other state supported retirement systems, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, which is IMRF, which is what a lot of government officials, the difference between the two is IMRF, the employer pays the matching share. In the teacher retirement system, the state pays the matching share. And so the employee pays, and then the state pays. And that actually funds that pension with investments, et cetera, and people coming into the profession, funds those pension payments. Now, the benefits of the two systems are very similar. So why is one solvent and one not? Well, the teacher retirement system struggles and suffers because guess who has not made their a full matching payment since the early 50s?
Oh, my. That's a long time.
Yes. Correct. So it has been brushed away. It has been borrowed from. Those payments do have been borrowed or taken. So when we have these, you know, cherry-picked programs and things that the legislators are funding, it's time to cut those. I think it's time to, certainly deregulate to a certain point the amount of monies that go to social bureaucratic systems. I cannot tell you the inordinate amount of time we spend dealing with new laws, new rules, having to pay attorney fees, training, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we spend more time working on regulations than we do improvement. So I've got a little bit of a beef, you can tell. I get a little hot on it, but cuts are going to have to be made. The problem is, too, with the pension system, and the Supreme Court of Illinois has affirmed it, you know, that is a promise that has been made. And you cannot cut that promise. What they've done in January of 2010 is they started tiering the pension system. So people will have to work longer and they'll receive a smaller benefit. But I think the time will eventually come, and I don't know how it will impact, because we'll have to have another revenue source to pay for if the schools have to make that match. Right now, most schools currently pay the pension for the teachers. So if they have to double that, it's going to be a very significant expense if the state says, all right, we're going to shift the burden to the schools. But then the schools are going to have a new tax to be able to cover those costs. So it comes right back to the taxpayer.
Right.
You know, everything, it all flows downhill, doesn't it?
Definitely.
So, you know, our schools, because of that, the state debt and state spending, you know, the governor was counting on that quote-unquote fair tax to pass. It was loud and clear. Taxpayers don't want it. And that did not follow party lines. So it wasn't a Democrat-Republican issue. It was an Illinois issue.
Mm-hmm.
So he is hard-pressed to come back in January to raise taxes because I don't think there's enough support. And they thought maybe during the lame duck session. So the hope is, with that there would be a federal bailout. Under President Trump, that bailout would have been a loan. it is hoped and believed by the governor's office that the bailout will now be a grant. You know, the federal government can print money and will help us get out of debt for the next year by granting and giving the state money. So we're just kicking the can, because who pays for the federal debt?
True.
Taxpayers. So, I mean, it's just coming all full circle, and at some point it's going to have to implode. And I think we need serious cuts at the federal, state level to bureaucratic processes, and that means modifying laws and rules and regulations. There's a lot of work to be done. And I don't know what the will is, but we've had two issues in our two counties, and that is property taxes getting to the schools on time. And that's because of late assessments, et cetera. Wherever the process is delayed, it's delayed. But our schools have not been getting their payments till late. And back in, I want to say 2016, mm-hmm. we were having schools borrowing money, et cetera. This is going to make 2016's late state payments and debt look like child's play, because we are still floating off the good revenue we were having, and we're not seeing the impact, and we will this spring seeing the impact of lost jobs, closed businesses, you know, all these protective things that we've done that have shuttered Illinois' economy. You know, whether right or wrong, it's just what it is. So our schools are really preparing for some significant debt, or delayed payments, I should say, not debt, delayed payments, whether it be property tax or state payments. And we got to the point in 16 where our largest school district in the two counties said, if we don't get a payment in, we are likely to be closing in January. Now, this was back in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if that's not as serious as it's going to be now, wow. So, it's one of those that keeps folks up at night, the superintendents, but you also feel fairly powerless with it. So that is not the happiest of news.
No, definitely not. It's but
it is, yeah. It is the reality, and that's why our folks in our superintendents and boards, et cetera, are aging so quickly.
Right. Getting more gray hairs, right?
Correct. And also getting their, you know, nobody has any derrieres anymore, because they've all been chewed off, because any decision you make during COVID is half the people are happy, half the people are mad.
Right.
Regardless of what you do. And it's just been very, very difficult. But, you know, we are strong, and we will be stronger when we make it through all of this.
True. That is a true statement. I think we always kind of, you know, that's one thing about Americans. They tend to struggle through, but they come out on the other side stronger.
Absolutely. And, this may have been a spark that we have needed to go through that. Sometimes it's been war, sometimes it's been tragedies, but we need to pull together, period, as Americans.
Right. That's what I always said. You know, I mean, in the Revolutionary War, the colonists facing the strongest military power in the world at the time, and that, and banding together and stuff, suffering through hard times, they came out on top and were, you know, established a country. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, it looks
shared adversity builds strength.
True. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. And
Jeff, I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone. And have a happy Thanksgiving. And please do your best to stay as safe as you can.
All right, and we will talk to you again next month.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.